Welcome to Healthcare Du Jour, where we dish up and digest the latest in healthcare. For the next 30 minutes, sit back as we bring you insight, commentary, and discussion on trending topics to the table, all expertly served up by our host and his guests. Healthcare Du Jour is brought to you by Carium, the telehealth platform enabling healthcare's digital transformation, helping you care for people within the fabric of their daily lives. Now here's your host, Matt Fisher.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining as we dive into the hottest topics in healthcare. I'm your host, Matt Fisher. On the menu today is Ricky Sahu, CEO at OneUp Health. Ricky, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you on. And Ricky, what I always like to do before getting into the main part of the conversation is give my guests a chance to provide more of an introduction in terms of who they are and what they do. So the floor is yours.
I'm Ricky Sahu. I'm the CEO of OneUp Health. And OneUp Health is a healthcare tech company that helps health insurance payer organizations and healthcare provider organizations get more connected to data for their patients to other applications. So we work with some of the largest health plans across the United States and some of the largest provider organizations and make it really easy for application developers, whether they're two people in a garage or another health plan or another health system, interact with the data, either at the patient level or at the population level. And I got into this by working in tech previously. And I married my wife, who is a doctor, and she was always bringing up how difficult it is to work with technology in healthcare and how antiquated the state of the art is here. So I was kind of getting tired of, for lack of better words, peddling ads online, and wanted to do something more helpful with my time, which is why I got into health tech. And as I got in, I joined a company that was started by the first CTO of the United States, Anish Chopra. We were trying to identify and create standardized ways for organizations to interact with health data. And it kind of kicked off this coalition of the willing to come around a new API standard called FHIR. So OneUp is really using these new standards and the regulations around these standards to, again, make data available for patients and the apps that they want to interact with from health plans and provider organizations.
I think that's very interesting background, and it would be intrigued to kind of hear what you've learned or what has kind of inspired you from hearing what your wife has talked about of are the pain points. Because, like you, I'm also the spouse of a physician, and certainly hear about all the frustrations and areas of inefficiency within the system on a day by day basis.
Yeah, I mean, totally. It's she's a radiologist, and she often interacts with an electronic health record. But usually the EHR is a different system from these radiology tools. These radiology tools often are far more specialized. And there are simple things like, if you need to look at a patient's chart, you have to look at it on one window and then look at the radiology data on another window. And if you want to copy some information in from the patient chart into the radiology system, then of course you have to enter it in twice. Or if there is a referral that you're getting from a different hospital, that data is yet another EHR login that you have to know or interact with. And now the problem is multiplied by three. So it truly is a healthcare interoperability issue that made me aware of the state of the art of technology in healthcare. And it's not an easy problem to solve because everyone's backend systems are unique. There are standards that were in the space previously, but they weren't really built for this sort of data exchange. And what we're seeing with FHIR and the platforms that we're deploying at these organizations is that that's making it much more easy to interact with systems that are outside your walls. And we're hoping that more and more applications, as they're built on this common infrastructure, they will be able to transmit data or read and write data from one another in a much more seamless manner.
And kind of building off of that, you know, for maybe the folks listening who aren't as technical, which would certainly include me, you know, like I hear the developers and my own company talk about how we build off of FHIR, but can you help provide maybe a little bit of a grounding of what FHIR actually is and then how it's helping to address some of those connectivity issues?
Yeah, totally. So if you kind of rewind back in healthcare, maybe 10, 20 years, there has been a few sets of standards that have been released all through this group called HL7. And they effectively had a standard called HL7 V2, which were these messages that were encoded to minimize the byte size, minimize the payload size of data transmission. And they were pipe delimited, and you had to like look up stuff, look up the way to decode these messages. And the reason why they were created in that manner was because 20 years ago, we didn't have fiber optic cables running to our houses. We had dial up. So you had to architect things in a very different way back then. And those messages were not so good for what we're doing today, which is creating applications and being able to interact both read and write, with these data sets. So HL7 V2 was, about 10 to 20 years ago, and it's still used today as the main means of communicating data between these systems. But then another thing came out called CCDA, and that was based on a XML standard, which is effectively the way that the internet web pages are displayed in HTML. And the problem with that was that it was more readable and more computable, but it was everything in the kitchen sink about the patient. So if the patient had 2,000 interactions with the health system, you would get this gigantic payload of 2,000 entries. And that made other things more difficult to interact with. So then the same HL7 group got together again and saw what technology companies were doing with RESTful APIs and what Facebook and Twitter and others were doing with OAuth2 as a means to authenticate access to data. And they kind of put those two together using JSON, where similar to HL7 V2, you had these bite-sized messages, but now they were JSON payloads. And rather than just being a stream of data sent from one organization to another, it was more interactive now, where you could read, you could create resources, you could update things, you could delete things. And that made it more amenable to using, to being used by third-party applications or even internal applications. But I wouldn't say that was complete enough. And what we're seeing now is, and what we're doing specifically, is we're taking this FHIR data and making it something that you can interact with at the population level to do queries and group buys and aggregations and all this other stuff that you need for population health analytics. So we think that the totality of that is creating a good foundation for healthcare applications, whether they're, again, created by two people in a garage or created by a, multi-million member health plan.
And so kind of then tying back to, I think, what you had mentioned briefly earlier, where new regulations are utilizing FHIR, and then what you just said of, it being a good foundation to build upon. So, is the perspective on it that, by advancing FHIR, you've created a common standard that everyone can relate to, and instead of having to deal with data coming in all different forms, if everyone can know that it's coming through in that FHIR format, then it allows for those upper level tools to refine it and know that they can be speaking, you know, maybe for lack of a better way of saying it, but speaking the same language.
Yeah. And it's speaking the same language is definitely a big piece of it, but those requirements to speak the same language have been in place from these HL7B2 and CCDA formats as well. I think what FHIR is doing is more than just creating the standard, it's also expanding the way that you can interact with the data. So it's no longer just like getting a stream of the historical payload. It's now you can do those things that you would in any sort of consumer application of maybe now you can say you're on this medication and it can be transmitted to the health plan or the provider organization, or maybe this automated system could read all of your data and run an analytic on it to then predict something that's going to happen. Or maybe you can connect a sensor or a wearable device that can do the reverse. So, you know, it can push a stream of data back to the health plan or the health system. So it's the standardization is definitely a huge piece of it. And FHIR has helped further that. But the expansion of use cases is where I think this becomes really interesting, because we don't want just these one-way pipes to exist in the industry. We think that there's a lot more, you know, a lot more voices, both from the patient, from other applications, that should come to bear in what happens in healthcare.
Considering that expansion, you know, and I think that also probably ties into like the information blocking regulations and the interoperability regulations that are still very much in the process of rolling out in terms of compliance and requirements. You know, what challenges do you anticipate arising as, you know, connectivity and interactivity of data increase as people lean on kind of the rights that are being created?
Yeah. So I think what's happened in the industry of healthcare and many others, but especially in healthcare, is that there are regulations that require providers or payers or, you know, pharma to do certain things. And that creates a need for them to do something. You know, they have to do this, or otherwise they're going to be levied penalties or fines or not be able to operate in the same way. But what needs to happen is that these organizations need to see the benefit in actually making the data more interoperable or more available. They need to want to make it more available. So we have to move the driving force from a, we need to meet these, you know, we need to use FHIR for compliance, to we want to use FHIR because it allows us to do XYZ. And I think the industry is starting to move in that direction because of, you know, all the reasons why I mentioned about how you can use FHIR and these APIs, but also because of other shifts in the industry towards like value-based care, for example, which is creating, you know, with value-based care, you're in charge of knowing what's happening to the totality of, you know, your patient's care. It's not just about doing this procedure and doing this procedure well, or it's also about doing this procedure and making sure that the patient doesn't get readmitted. And if they get readmitted, even if it's to another hospital, the organization that did the procedure, or the PCP, you know, the primary care physician, who is the attributed PCP of that patient, is on the hook for that repeat procedure. So when you need to know what's happening to your patients outside your walls, there is an inherent requirement to know the data, you know, of that patient outside your walls, which is creating effectively demand for this data. And then the regulations for, you know, for making this data available via FHIR is creating supply for this data. And I would say that the FHIR as a technology is effectively a catalyst moving it all forward more quickly. So when you have these sorts of three sorts of things happening all at the same time, you know, it creates a huge push for the industry, where this level of change hasn't happened in like the last, you know, 15 to 20 years. And the last time it happened, it created organizations like Epic, you know, Healthcare, which is the biggest EHR, Cerner, you know, Cognizant, Change, all these other, you know, organizations in the industry, which are huge. And that sort of same shift is happening right now, but it's still pretty early. And I think we're in the phase of, you know, providers kind of dragging their feet to use electronic medical records, which is the case way back when. But now everyone is like, hey, we absolutely need an EHR because it allows us to do all these things. And I think the same thing is happening with FHIR, where maybe we're beyond the dragging the feet, which was, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Now it's more about, it's there, what can we do with it? And once people realize these are the sorts of applications that you can use, they will want to do it more than feeling like they need to do it today.
No, I think that's very intriguing to consider. And for those of you just joining, I'm talking with Ricky Sahu from OneUp Health. We've been talking about the background of FHIR and connectivity and now the new regulations. And kind of, Ricky, building off of what you were just describing, you know, where I think you said organizations have gotten past the, or maybe are starting to get past that foot dragging phase and not recognizing the benefits, you know, which is likely in part spurred by the fact that they can't do that anymore, because kind of like your EHR example, the government said, here, you have to do this. So if, you know, by regulation, you have to do something, you're going to do it. Trying to frame it more positively though, kind of what are maybe the infrastructure challenges or operational challenges that need to be overcome or altered so the benefit that you are highlighting can really be achieved?
Yeah. So from our perspective, we're interacting with health plans the most recently. And what we're seeing happening there is that there is a ton of legacy infrastructure where they have data in many different silos internally. And what these regulations are requiring is, hey, you need to take all that data and make it available to your patients and their applications in one standard interface with one standard API of FHIR. And what that's causing these health plans to do is, you know, in some cases bring 30 or so disparate systems together in this one consolidated view. So it's already creating a asset for them, where now they no longer have to say, hey, you interact with this database this way, you interact with another database in that way, you know, you talk to this organization to get provisioned, you know, keys or credentials for this database and another part of our organization to do it somewhere else, or this external vendor. So we're seeing that stuff come together. And that in itself is creating interest from these health plans and other organizations to be able to interact with the data under one roof in one standard method. And then we're able to give them granular governance and access controls to say, hey, you know, this application is only allowed to interact with these tables. That interaction application is only able to read data. This other one is able to read and write data. So that's starting to, from a fundamental data, health data infrastructure or management perspective, you know, health information management perspective, it's creating an environment that makes it easy to get your hands around all this information. So that's where we're at right now. And we're kind of, there are applications that are built on top of this, but the utilization for them are still pretty, you know, pretty early in the time frame of things. So those applications will become more mature. More health plans and provider organizations will see how to use those, or maybe they will port their existing applications to FHIR, which we're also seeing happening. And once that happens over the next year or two, I believe more and more health systems and health plans will see that FHIR is the, you know, way that you want to centralize development in healthcare.
You were just talking about the health plans, it sounds like, being the ones you've been primarily working with so far. You know, were you surprised that the health plans maybe can be perceived as taking the lead on the transition, or do you think that kind of fits with what you would have expected?
Well, yeah, the reason why we're predominantly focused on the health plans is because last March, say about a year and a half ago, there were new regulations released which required health plans to make their claims and clinical data available via these FHIR APIs. Prior to that, the healthcare providers, the hospitals and the clinics, they were required to do the same thing somewhere around 2017. So there is a bit of a gap between 2017 to now, where it was only providers that were really working with FHIR APIs. And the reason why we, you know, OneUp Health are more attuned to the health plans is because the EHRs, Epic, Cerner, Allscripts, et cetera, they were the ones that supported the providers in meeting the regulations back in 2017. But the payers don't really have an EHR that is broadly, you know, or an EHR-like organization that is broadly instituted. Some of the claims record organizations do this, but, you know, frankly, they're not, the best at, this sort of infrastructure. And when these rules went into effect on July 1 of this, you know, just 3 months ago, we, OneUp Health and the health plans that we operated were the majority of live FHIR endpoints, because most of the other organizations in this space are coming from a very different world where they're dealing with flat files and other kind of data feeds. Whereas we were originally, I guess, born into working with applications and patients and, APIs.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very helpful kind of additional background. And as you said, kind of as you were describing it, you know, leveling that playing field where, you know, as you mentioned, health plans having to catch up to some degree to where providers had been. You know, kind of with the little bit of time that we've got left, I'm going to take us in a slightly tangential direction. You know, so far we've been talking a lot about, you know, that connectivity and interaction from the health plan perspective and the provider perspective. What about the patient perspective, which is, you know, an area that is getting an increasing amount of focus, and I think starting to see a more vocal contingent out there advocating for patients. And so, kind of, where do you see that interactivity helping patients with, both accessing and potentially controlling their data, and also helping to get their providers to see the right data at the right time?
So I think that in the long term, all of this is going to move to a patient-centric model, because that's naturally what makes sense, especially at scale. And these APIs are to that end. You know, they are built for patient access of this data so that patients can enable any application that they want. And, that can be like an Apple Health application, or it can be an application created for diabetes or cancer treatment or research, where maybe the patient wants to sell their data to monetize it, or maybe they want to, have an application that helps them manage their asthma because it tells them the pollen count and it tells them, you know, what medications they're on or all these other things. So eventually it'll go in that way, and it will be effectively, you know, healthcare is pretty complex. Like, I guess you and I are both married to doctors, and I'm not, I'm sure we can both admit that they know much more about the human body than either of us do. And it's pretty complicated stuff. Like, that's why they go to school for years and years and get all this training. And it's not something that I think a normal person or even me is capable of making the most educated decision about. But that's where applications and, you know, data sharing comes in, because ultimately you want to make this data more available or computable by a wider set of, you know, creative thinkers in the world. And you should allow, you know, as a patient, you want to allow those who you trust, whether it's an application or another human, to interact with the data to guide you. So I think that's what's going to happen over time. The reason why we're sitting right between payers and providers is we believe that payers are effectively the gateway to patients, and because they manage, you know, patients for these provider organizations. And these providers are a gateway to care. So ultimately, we, 1UP, want to help direct, you know, patients to care. And today, that means, you know, working with providers and payers.
Yeah, and I think kind of implicit in what you were just saying is it's, you know, you really need everyone working in concert. You know, you can't have any one piece of that system trying to work in, you know, in opposition to the others. It really needs to have everyone interacting to kind of get back to one of the key terms that we keep mentioning.
Yep, exactly. And I think you can imagine, like, when future where a patient shares data with an app, you know, that app might update something, that data shows up in the provider's, you know, workflow, that provider then, you know, takes some action to prescribe a medication. And then the health plan, the payer, you know, sees that medication was dispensed, you know, actually picked up, and that data then flows back into the application, which can then reinforce its models through empirical evidence that, you know, saying this thing actually results in that thing. So it definitely needs to be a loop with the patient at the center.
Yeah, and I think that's a great loop to describe. And it's also, unfortunately, a great parting thought, because believe it or not, we are already out of time. I want to thank my guest, Ricky Sahu, for a great conversation today.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was great to be here. And this is an exciting space, and we look forward to what happens next.
Yes, and thank you to everyone listening. Keep the dialogue going and connect with me at hashtag HCDEJURE. I'm Matt Fisher. Until next time.